from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, yo, yo! What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 TGIF. That's right, it is Friday. You have made it. The weekend is upon you. Oh, boy, that's exciting stuff. And I tell you what, it's a bit bittersweet here on the show for me because this will be my last day here on the air. But no, not for long. Okay, this isn't my final show or anything, folks. I'll be back on October 5th. I will be traveling to Atlanta for the National Association of Broadcasters Radio Show Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. That should be a fun time. So we'll be having a best of encore Current Sports special throughout the week next week. So, hey, we got to go out with the bang, though, folks. It's going to be a good one as we will get you prepped for the Michigan State and Central Michigan football game, which will take place at noon tomorrow. We will also talk about the Lions and Broncos, and I may have a surprise pick in that game. We'll also be inviting Ira Childress, who is the Okemos High School athletic director, who will talk about the Compete for a Cause annual soccer game that will take place tomorrow around 5:30 p.m. as Mason and Okemos High School will raise funds to fight childhood cancer. A very cool event, so you don't want to miss that chat with Ira. We'll also have weekend winners for you, give you our NFL picks, and take your calls. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this September 25th. All right, Battle Creek Central's Brandon Randall was invited to the Army All-American Bowl, which will be played in Texas in January of next year. The game features 90 of the best players in the country. Randall said even he didn't think he was good enough to be even be invited. How about that? He says, quote, "It was a surprise. I wasn't expecting it at all. It was just crazy to be considered for this kind of game. I didn't think I was going to have any chance to play in any All-American Bowl." Brandon Randall is so, so good. He will join future teammates Demetri Vance, Cameron Chambers, Austin Robertson, and Josh King in the bowl game. All right, Amara Darbo, a 21-year-old wide receiver at the University of Michigan, finally became a U.S. citizen yesterday. How about that? Congrats to Darbo. Gotta love that. He moved with his mother and siblings to the U.S. from war-torn Sierra Leone. How about that? When he was 2 or 3 years old. Now, he tried once in high school to apply for citizenship, but in a move to Ann Arbor for college, the paperwork was lost. Now, Darbo said he's always considered himself an American, and this was just the last step of the process. So congratulations to Amara Darbo. That's fantastic stuff. He's also a pretty good player, folks, if you haven't seen him. All right, the young Detroit Red Wings prospects seemed comfortable at home last night, beating the Pittsburgh Penguins 6-1. Now, top prospect Dylan Larkin notched 2 goals. Veteran Johan Franzen was also back on the ice last night after an 8-month recovery from a concussion last January. After a convincing victory, the Wings and Penguins played a period of overtime to get accustomed to the new 3-on-3 format that will be used this year. The Penguins ended overtime with just about a minute left on a goal from Oscar Sudgewitz. Now, the Wings continue their preseason Saturday against the Bruins. Since suffering a left Achilles injury in January, Detroit Pistons guard Brandon Jennings will not be considered a full participant for the Detroit Pistons training camp, which starts on Tuesday. Now, after conflicting reports, it was confirmed yesterday by head coach Stan Van Gundy that Jennings will continue to rehab his Achilles and not participate in any group activities. Excuse me. Now, Jennings has been making positive progress with his rehab, but it does not look promising for him to start in the Pistons season opener against the Atlanta Hawks on October 27th. Kirk Cousins. Oh, That was ugly last night, folks. Ah, Kirk Cousins and the Redskins, they fell to the New York Giants last night, 32-21, which marks five straight losses to the Giants. Cousins, he passed for over 300 yards, and the Redskins managed to score 15 points in the fourth quarter, but that was not enough to overcome the Giants' defense. New York was in control most of the game against the injury-stricken Redskins, who lost cornerback D'Angelo Hall to a right leg injury that looks to be maybe pretty serious. Now, Cousins' history of playing the Giants is not the brightest. Last season, he threw four picks in a loss to New York. Manning, however, played well, finishing 23 of 31 for 279 yards. The Redskins' next game is October 4th against the Philadelphia Eagles, but they got to shut the door in the fourth quarter. They almost led the Redskins back in that game. Meta World Peace, otherwise known as Ron Artest, signed a one-year non-guaranteed deal to return to the Los Angeles Lakers this season. He is expected to join the team on Monday in Hawaii for the start of training camp. World Peace played last year in China and Italy, but was doing informal workouts with the Lakers over the summer. And the lawyer of a woman accusing Blackhawks' Patrick Kane quit the case Thursday night after an eventful day in the investigation. Thomas Ueno said he is no longer comfortable representing the woman after the way her mother handled reporting an evidence bag that was found at her house. That's a sticky story, to say the least. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this September 25th, 2015. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. It's about that time to start the show.
Center for the Detroit Lions. He was voted most likely to be a hitman in Grand Theft Auto. That's right. I thought it was familiar. Next from the Lions is Kyle Van Noy. He was voted most likely to be Joe Jonas's reflection on a doorknob.
Very specific award.
A rare award. They don't give that out. Rare award. Next up from the Lions is Gabe Wright. He was voted least likely to receive a scarf for Christmas. He's like, I'm good. I'm good with the neck warm. I'm good. Next from the Lions is Golden Tate. He was voted most likely to have a name that means something gross on Urban Dictionary.
Don't look it up. Don't.
Oh! Golden Tate.
Next. Clear your search history if you type that in.
Yeah, just clear. Just don't even let the kids.
Don't look at that. Yeah.
What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we've got a fun-filled hour in store for each and every one of you out there. Now, what you just heard is, of course, one of my favorite shows. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't have The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon DVR'd on my television. And, Jimmy, I think he's the best entertainer in all of television right now. I mean, he's so multifaceted in what he could do. But anyway, they have these different segments on The Tonight Show. And, they call it The Tonight Show Superlatives. That's what you just heard. Where what superlatives are. I mean, in high school, when you graduate, you have most likely to succeed, class clown. The entire class votes on these different awards. And, I'm curious. Speaking of superlatives, Isaac, I got to ask you this. I want to invite Isaac to the show, our fantastic engineer. Isaac, you know what superlatives when the yearbook comes out.
Of course.
What were you voted as?
I was nominated for Best Smile. I did not win.
You were nominated for Best Smile.
Yes, I was.
I could see that. My man, you got a nice smile, my brother.
I do. You know, okay. It's nice and pearly. I had the braces back in freshman, sophomore year. So now that I got them off, yeah, I guess the smile improved a little bit. Teeth got a little bit whiter as
Dig
well.
It.
What about you?
Oh, see, I wasn't even going to bring it up, man, but I was...
Yeah, you were. That's why you started this conversation. You didn't bring this up to ask me what my superlative was. Come on, Al.
I did. I wanted to know what yours was, man. But for me, I kind of swept the awards, man, in high school. I was pretty popular.
There you,
you
go.
For me, I kind of went through a phase because, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I wear contacts, right? And I'm legally blind, though, dude. If you were to see my glasses, I've been wearing glasses since kindergarten. You know how you're supposed to be, you know how you're 20/20, right? You know,
yep.
If you have perfect vision. A lot of people don't know this, but my prescription says -8.64. Crazy. So I'm legally blind. My glasses look like bottle cap glasses. They're so thick. But after I ditched the glasses and got contacts, that's when my popularity kind of grew. You know what I mean? I became,
yeah.
You know, I'm still dorky. I'm very dorky. You guys get to hear my dorkiness every day here at 1 o'clock. But at the same time, I'm pretty fly with my dorkiness, okay? But anyway, when high school hit, that's when I started hooping with the basketball team, became the captain. But I was voted most likely to succeed, which was such an honor. I was homecoming king as well in high school. Man, let's see. There were some other stuff. Best dressed as well.
Nice.
Best personality. There were a few, man. My grandma actually dug the book up. Which is like in her attic. I don't even have the book, but she called me like, "Baby, look at all these awards you won back in high school." And she started listing all of them. It was so funny, the conversation. But yeah, but anyway, those are what superlatives are. And what you just heard, I mean, Jimmy Fallon does a great job of issuing superlatives to different athletes. You know, because of course, each and every night, Sunday night, I should say, NBC, they host Sunday Night Football. So Jimmy Fallon has a nice little twist because he is on NBC for whatever game that week is. And, of course, this weekend, the Detroit Lions will take on the Denver Broncos. He will look at pictures of certain players for both teams and, he will choose the weirdest pictures and will give superlatives of athletes. So you heard, one from Golden Tate, and Golden Tate was voted, the weirdest – name to have, that sounds like something from Urban Dictionary, right? So I just love Jimmy, though. He's hilarious. And he had a pretty interesting spin. I don't know if you remember Good Burger from back in the day, back in the 90s, Isaac.
No.
I don't know. It might have been before your time. That was like my childhood.
Okay.
But Good Burger with Kenan and Kel. You know who Kenan and Kel is?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Nick, Nickelodeon. They made a movie called Good Burger. And it was like it was like wildfire. I mean, everyone knows this. If you grew up in the 90s, you know this movie. But he did like a throwback skit with Kenan and Kel from Good Burger. He did a parody of one of my favorite shows on TV, Empire, where he dresses up like Terrence Howard. I mean, he's so talented, man. So you heard a few from the Detroit Lions team, some of these superlatives from Jimmy Fallon. But I wanted to start the show on a funny note there. Love Jimmy. All right, folks. Well, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We've got a lot to get to. Again, we're going to be diving into the Michigan State and CMU game, which will take place tomorrow, the Lions and Broncos. And we want to take your calls. Now, I want to start by getting to one of our favorite callers. Mike from Saginaw is on line one. And I understand, Mike, you want to give a bit of an ode to a hoop great who has just announced his retirement, Jason Richardson.
Yes, I do, because Jason Richardson, to me, he was the first athlete that came out of he went to not to my high school, but to the high school across town called Saginaw Arthur Hill.
Right, right.
As a matter of fact, Jason Richardson, to me, he was a dunker when he was at State. He was an athletic type person, but as he went along, he learned how to shoot the ball much better, and he became... he became a better basketball player. He really did, man. From a guy who just depended on his athleticism, once he got to the league, he realized that his athleticism couldn't carry him through, which a lot of young guys never get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
yeah.
got to that level. They were so athletic because they were so superior over their competition. But once they got to the pros, they never knew how to play, but just only it was that one way. And
right.
he learned how to get him a jump shot. He learned how to play defense and everything. You know, I mean, as a basketball player, you have to learn something new every year, every off season. That's what Draymond Green did. He learned how to learn, improved on his game during the off season. You just can't go in there because the competition, the skill level, it gets higher and higher as you go along. So I just want to say a shout-out to Jason Richardson for having a full NBA career for 14 years.
Right.
It's great that he's a Michigan State graduate, too. So I want to comment before I talk about football, too. You know about Moses Malone passing.
Right.
I haven't been listening to your show lately. Moses Malone and Daryl Dawkins.
You haven't been tuning in, brother? What's up with that? Man, I'm joking. We love you.
I understand that because I've been out exercising. I exercise now around lunchtime. So
good. That's more important.
Yeah, that is still important to me. I lost 20 pounds. So
my man, congratulations. That's fantastic, Mike. Fantastic,
that
dude.
That is great, man. I thought I'd kick that with you. What I want to talk to you also about is Michigan State playing Central, but you got to realize this is not just a walkover game for them. You know, Central, Michigan, to me, is like they're a program that's on the up.
I agree.
Anytime you play in Syracuse and you force them into overtime, and I mean, I give them all the benefit, all the credit in the world. It seems like, you know, yeah, we laugh at the MAC schools, but when Arkansas beat Toledo, we wasn't laughing, or Maryland beat Bowling Green State University beating Maryland. Mm-hmm. We wasn't laughing then.
Right, right.
So you just can't play down to the competition anymore. You have to be able to give out a full effort every week. Every week you play now.
I agree.
In college football.
Mike, before we get you out of here, I want you to give us a score prediction. I mean, what do you think the score is going to be? You think MSU covers the spread? Finally?
Yeah, they're going to cover the spread.
Okay. All right. Give me a score. Give me a score.
I'll give you a score. How about 35 to 20, 23?
Okay. That's kind of close to mine, actually. I'm actually choosing MSU to win that game 41 to 21.
Okay, yeah. Let me comment on this before I let you go. The weekend, the musician, The Weeknd is coming out with a record album this week. I said, what? I thought his album was out already.
Get out of here. I love The Weeknd is fantastic, man. He's got great music.
When I first touched your face, man, I said, man, this dude is good, man.
He's great.
You know,
Mike, you have good taste in music. You have great taste in music, dude. I'm impressed. I'm surprised you knew that. That's great stuff, dude.
It is, man.
Well, Mike, I appreciate your call, and we really appreciate you weighing in. And we got a few things to talk about in our first segment, including that MSU and CMU game. But we appreciate you chiming in and also giving that fantastic tribute to Jay Rich. We actually had a nice little montage talking about Jay Rich yesterday and about his retirement and what he meant to the game of basketball and having a long career with 14 seasons. We really appreciate your call. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Thank you again, Alan. You have a good one. Enjoy the game.
You too. Have a good weekend, dude.
I do it. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. I love Mike when he calls him, man. What did he say, 20 pounds?
Yeah.
What am I doing with my life? I need to get in the gym, dude. I mean, I went 2 days ago, and I'm getting back into it. But, man, it's so tough just to get consistent, especially with the crazy schedules that you
like
and
you
I
said,
have.
Like you said, once football season kicks back up,
yeah,
the schedule has become so crowded for us. So
it has.
Yeah, it has been tougher to get into the gym. I just bought myself some dumbbells because I need to work out at home now. No time to walk over to IM West.
I'm telling you, dude, it's certainly a grind. All right, well, you know what? Before we dive into Michigan State and CMU, which we will in just a sec here, I wanted to bring up this story. I said that we would start our first segment with this discussion, but the Big 12, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but SI published an article talking about the Big 12. The Big 12 is actually right now considering instituting a policy of banning schools from accepting freshman athletes with histories of violent misconduct. That's coming from League Commissioner Bob Bowlesby. That's what he announced. Now, if this plan is adopted, the Big 12 will become the first FBS league with a conference-wide conduct policy affecting recruits. Now, this is a direct quote from Bowlesby. He says, quote, "It's really about doing due diligence. It's really about the right questions being asked. There are some schools that do background checks on players." Got to be honest, Isaac, I like this idea. I got to be honest. And the reason I do is because at the end of the day, there's a direct correlation to you know, that there, I should say, there's a lot of dots that you can connect when a recruit first comes on campus and is a part of your program. And we've seen college football athletes, college basketball athletes, and even athletes in other sports that have come to a university to play. We've seen athletes get involved with the wrong things away from the playing field. And I stated yesterday, to end yesterday's show, to preview this conversation, immediately when I heard about this, the first athlete that came to my head was former Cass Tech football standout, Jayrue Campbell. Jayrue Campbell's story has been well documented. Many of you out there know how good Jayrue was at the quarterback position when he was a player at Cass Tech. But Jayrue was recruited by Michigan State, you know, from Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff. But Jayrue just couldn't get it together when it came to how he conducted himself away from the football field. Of course, he was caught on camera, cell phone video of him body slamming a security guard. He was also caught on camera getting into it with his girlfriend. You know, he had to, attend anger management classes. We saw him, you know, I remember watching the hearing of him in front of a judge and him getting reprimanded there. But at the end of the day, and I think Coach D has done a great job, and we actually had Curtis Blackwell, who is a big part of Michigan State football's recruiting services. That's really one of the primary reasons why Curtis is a part of that MSU football team, because he has such a big hand in recruiting and getting the upper hand in that discussion. But Mark D'Antonio prides himself on not only recruiting great players, but making sure that those players are all around good people and have good character. That is so important and is also strained when Michigan State goes out to recruit an individual. They just don't want to see that you are a great recruit, you are a great player, and you put up astronomical numbers on the gridiron. But you have to be a solid young man as well, as far as your character is concerned and handling your business. No one wants to recruit Isaac who is out there, you know, involved with activities they shouldn't be involved with. I don't need to, you know, list down the specifics of what exactly I'm talking about here. But no one wants a recruit who has a record, or no one wants a recruit who has a troubled past. Now, I know that situations vary from kid to kid. There are some kids that are simply a product of their environment. They grow up in heinous situations. They may not have a mother or father in the household, and they go down a path that is downtrodden. But at the same time, you can tell when a kid wants to do better at the end of the day. It's about getting to know those recruits as well to understand if that kid has the potential to change their life around and whether or not that kid wants to change their life around, because that is important at the end of the day as well. But there are kids out there that just don't get it and need more mentorship. So I see where the Big 12 is coming from with this. Again, the Big 12 considering instituting a policy of banning schools from accepting freshman athletes with histories of violent misconduct. I can see where they are going with that in that conversation, because at the end of the day, if you recruit a kid and he comes into your program, he may be a great player, but let's say he does something stupid at a bar or gets into a fight or gets arrested. That perception is going to be a very bad umbrella that is painted over your program. And with that being said, your program could get a bad reputation. And at the end of the day, if that happens, we've seen even jobs get on the line. It makes the head coach look bad at the end of the day. I got to be honest. So I don't see anything wrong with this.
Yeah, I like the idea of this as a conference-wide mandate. What I would prefer is for schools to self-impose these regulations in the first place. That would be the best way to work it in a perfect world. Obviously, that's not always going to happen, but some schools certainly have done a good job of that. But there are so many cases where a kid gets in trouble and really paints the picture of his program, the school that gave him a full ride to play sports. He paints a picture of not that just football team, but that entire school in a negative light. Look at what has happened to Florida State recently. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Johnson, Jameis Winston, all of those players, do you think that that tarnishes a school's reputation? Because it definitely does, not just the football team. So I'd like to see this as a school mandate, a school self-imposed regulation. But I think if conferences are stepping up to the plate, that's how to do it. And I like that this only extends to violent past crimes because sometimes, you know, I just had my bike stolen and I was incensed. I was really mad about it because who steals? That's terrible. But even so, stealing can be driven by depravity, by need, whereas violence is not driven by those things. Violence is a personality trait that needs serious correction.
Right.
So I think it's a good idea. I think these are good regulations. I think it's well thought through, and I think the Big 12 is making good steps.
No, I think they are, and if again, it's just being considered right now. It's not set in stone. It's in conversation, and I wouldn't be surprised if this if this does become concrete, and if it is, I think you can see other conferences maybe, you know, following the same suit. So because it's not just about recruiting a kid who can get you wins. I understand it's a big component of it because that, you know, if you win, you keep your job as a head coach. But at the same time, it goes beyond that. And the good coaches who have had elongated success within the sport of Division I college athletics, they don't just care about the wins. They care about cultivating young men and young women into good people. And that's the main thing that you see from those who have had tremendous success. All right, Michigan State and CMU, folks. Again, that will be the game tomorrow at Spartan Stadium at noon. Central Michigan, again, I have to agree with Mike, you know, our previous caller here on the show. I think CMU is a very good team. I think this is a team that's going to have a solid season, even though they've, you know, had an etch on that record already. You know, they played Oklahoma State tough before losing in the season opener, 24-13. They lost in overtime against Syracuse, 30-27 last week. This is a team that is very, very competitive. And, hey, I tell you what, you know, Coach D was asked during his weekly presser, you know, about the moment back in 2009 when CMU upset the Spartans in stunning fashion, scoring a field goal in the final 32 seconds to win 29-27 over the Spartans. So this is a program that historically has been very, very, very competitive. But at the end of the day, I mean, Michigan State being number two in the nation, with the amount of depth that's on this team and looking at the talent, you know, compared to CMU, this is a game that Michigan State should win easily. I got to be honest with you. And it's all about how you handle success. I mean, this is something that Michigan, you know, this is going to be a good test for Michigan State because this is going to be the first week that they play a team in which they are ranked in the D'Antonio era, the number two team in the nation. How you handle yourself, how your swag is when you have that number two next to your name is big, point blank, period. And how they come out and handle you know, this game against the Chippewas is going to be very interesting because you know, in an ideal world, I mean, many of you out there who are Spartan fans, you would think that, you know, Michigan State is going to be the number two team in the nation leading up to that, you know, that number two versus number one matchup on November 21st against Ohio State. Very tempting to do that when looking at the schedule and the teams, you know, who are that Michigan State has to play before they get to Ohio State. But again, Mark D'Antonio prides himself on not overlooking teams, even though they have not covered the spread yet, whether it be against Western Michigan or whether it be against, you know, last week's game against Air Force. They, you know, once you have your foot on the gas, you can't let up. That's the big thing that I'm going to be paying attention to for Michigan State because I think they'll jump out to an early lead, an early sizable lead. But as the game goes on, that intensity must stay consistent. That's the big thing. So I'm curious to get your thoughts. What do you think is going to go down tomorrow at Spartan Stadium? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I am going with the Spartans to win this one 41-21. Isaac, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going with Michigan State as well. Central Michigan does have a potent passing attack. You're talking about
Love Cooper
that,
Rush, Lansing local right there.
You're talking about a kid that threw for 7 touchdowns in his bowl game last year, over 500 yards, including, if I'm not mistaken, that amazing Hail Mary to win it. It was all over the highlight reels.
Yeah.
So, potent passing game. The running game, not so good. The defense is decent in protecting the run, but I think Michigan State should be able to get out early, just like you said. Now, I am interested to see this secondary. You'll see Colquhoun coming in for the first time as a starter with Viontae Copeland's injury. So I'm still not 100% convinced by this Michigan State secondary. I'm interested to see if against such a good passing game, they get burnt once or twice. So I'm going to go with MSU. I think it should be a fairly comfortable win, but I think Central will put a few points on the board. So 41-14, Michigan State.
Okay, and you know what? You talk about that depth. I mean, Michigan State has already had its depth tested on the defensive ranks of things, thanks to a season-ending knee injury to, of course, linebacker Ed Davis. Again, you know, Viontae Copeland is out for the season because of a fractured vertebrae, and the Spartans have been preparing to play the first half on Saturday without linebacker Riley Bulla, who, of course, was ejected last week for targeting. So that secondary is going to have to really step it up, especially going against Cooper Rush, you know, former Lansing Catholic quarterback under Jim Ahern. And I tell you what, Cooper Rush, looking at Central Michigan last week, they had 30 first downs to Syracuse's 11 last week, and QB Cooper Rush threw for 430 yards. So, yeah, the Chippewas, they will try to repeat that performance against the high-scoring Spartans. Going to be very entertaining, though, because I do think that secondary is going to have some lapses tomorrow. I got to be honest with you. I think that Cooper will have a solid game against that secondary. But how they rebound and how they adjust throughout that game is also going to be something to look at. All right, let's hit our first break here. When we come back, we will invite Ira Childress, Okemos High School Athletic Director, to the show. And he will talk about a very cool matchup between the Mason and Okemos soccer teams. The very first night game in Okemos High School history when it comes to the game of soccer, as they look to raise money to fight childhood cancer. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's get to our guest for today's show. Now, tomorrow, two area soccer powerhouses will be continuing an area rivalry that has spanned years and provided some intense battles on the field. However, that rivalry will be used to contribute to a bigger cause, and an important one that many of you, I'm sure, will be attending. Now, this event will take place at Okemos High School, and it's being dubbed, the fourth annual Compete for a Cause event. Mason and Okemos will compete in soccer. Now, this year's event will be held at Okemos High School again with the JV teams kicking off at 5:30 p.m., followed by a ceremonial tribute for childhood cancer at 7:20. The varsity teams will then start their game at 7:30, a rematch from last year's thriller that saw them tie 1-1. And right now on our phone lines, we have Ira Childress, who is the athletic director for Okemos High School. Ira, how you doing?
How you doing, Al? How are things going?
Fantastic, my man. Another day, another dollar. And we love having you on anytime we can get you on our airwaves, especially to talk about an event like this that is really a cool one that aims to bring some positivity in a world in which, you know how things are from day to day. You know what I mean? Now,
right.
Ira, I want to talk about the history of this event and how it has really just grown over the years. Can you just kind of give us a background of the Compete for a Cause game?
Yeah, Compete for a Cause was actually started by Mason and some individuals from the Mason community. And for the last couple of years, they had rotating teams that they played in the event, and it was in the early stages of it. And then last year, they asked us to be a part of it, and we came over to Mason, and the event became even bigger, not just because we were a part of it, but I think just partly because it was growing from the first couple of years, and last year's event was really good. I believe they raised something along the lines of $11,000 or maybe even a little bit north of that, but ended up being a great event. It was sold out, a big crowd out there. I think they had 1,300 people out at Mason last year. And now this year has even grown even more from a standpoint of there's been a lot of publicity and a lot of people, big-time media pundits like yourself, really talking about this event, which is great. We're looking for, usually with high school sports, we try to downplay the media aspect a little bit, but not with this event. We're really trying to play it up even more because we want people to come out and we want people to be a part of this great, great cause tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic one. And the very first night game in Okemos High School history. How did that idea come about? Why did you guys decide to make this a night event?
Yeah, we wanted to make it a night event because, as you know, there's a lot of things going on during the day. Obviously, tomorrow, Michigan State is playing a pretty important football game at noon against Central Michigan. So you have that, and you have other things. People are doing a lot of running around during the day. So we felt like if we made it Saturday night, there's nothing else going on in the community. I mean, this is the place to be tomorrow night. We feel like we'll get a lot of more people here. Now, obviously, everyone knows we can't play night games because we don't have lights. But for this game and for to really kind of even bring a little bit more intrigue to the game, we decided to, you know what, for this one time, let's bring in lights. So we're going to bring in lights, and thanks to Johnny Max, who helped sponsor the lights for us, we're going to bring in lights, and we're going to have it under the lights. So that adds a little bit more to it. Whoever comes tomorrow night, not only are going to see a great soccer game, they're going to be participating to help a great cause, and they're going to be a part of Okemos athletic history for years and years to come because we've never, ever played a night soccer game here, ever.
Oh, that's beyond cool, Ira. Now, for you, as an athletic director, I mean, how challenging was it for you to sort of, you know, get this thing organized and to make sure the lights, you know, that you guys could rent lights for this event? I mean, how challenging has it been for you?
Oh, it's real challenging. I mean, because we're not Michigan State, you know. We don't have all the people that they have over there. My good friend Mark Hollis, they have a whole staff of people. We have a small staff here, but we have a staff that works really hard, and everybody's working hard. And we're just rolling up our sleeves. In fact, this afternoon we're going to go out there and make sure the lights are in the right location. We'll have a walk through the night with the team and make sure everything is good. So, yeah, there's a lot of preparation, but I need to tip my hat to Pam Dern and all the folks from Mason as well, who have done a great job organizing this event. The little extra work that is involved in it is nothing compared to what we're going to get out of it, Al. You know, I've been a part of a lot of big events. I've been a part of Final Fours. I've been a part helping with a lot of big events on the college level. Tomorrow night will be one of the biggest events I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, and certainly raising money for a fantastic cause. 100% of the proceeds raised during the event will actually be donated to St. Baldrick's Foundation, a childhood cancer charity, and the Michigan State University Pediatric Oncology Clinic. How did you guys pick those two avenues to donate the proceeds to, Ira?
That was something that the founders of the game kind of decided, and we thought it was a great idea when Pam and the individuals from Mason told us, and that was really kind of their brainchild. So we're excited about that. One thing I need to ask you: will you guys be out there covering? I know you've been doing a lot of great coverage.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we can get you there tomorrow night.
Of course, we will have a camera in the house. Now, unfortunately, I'll be at the Michigan State and CMU game to cover that. But we'll have a camera out there. My intern is going to be out there, and we would definitely be covering that event for you.
Okay, that's awesome. That's great. That's great to hear. And you know, because I think we're all in this together. I mean, as we talked about in the press conference, Alan, as you well know, almost everyone I know has had someone that they know, if not themselves, affected by cancer.
Right, without a doubt. And that's a great segue to my next question, because cancer is one of those areas that is pretty touchy, because it's hard to find someone out there that has not been affected directly or indirectly from this disease. I always bring up the story of my grandfather, my late grandfather, a man who made me into the man that I am today, who passed away due to prostate cancer back in 2011. And seeing him battle and endure, you know, the constant treatments, you know, that and chemotherapy and seeing him lose weight. I mean, those are vivid memories that will never go away. Will never go away. And it affects me in a personal way, because when you see a loved one go through that, or as I can only imagine, someone who has directly gone through that, I mean, it affects you. It affects you. So with that being said, many people, I'm sure, will certainly turn out for this event. And I got to ask you, Ira, have you been affected by this disease? And if so, in what way?
Yeah, I've been affected by cancer, unfortunately, multiple times. My grandmother passed away from pancreatic cancer, and my aunt, who I was very close with, like a second mother to me, passed away from lung cancer. So I've really been affected by this disease multiple times, and that's why I think, you know, we're all so passionate about it, because it just really affects all of us. Now, with this event, we're focusing on childhood cancer, but just the cancer in general is just a terrible, terrible disease.
Yes, it certainly is. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Ira Childress, Okemos High School Athletic Director, who is letting us know about the Compete for a Cause soccer game between Okemos and Mason that will be taking place tomorrow evening, looking to raise funds to fight childhood cancer. Now, Ira, I got to ask, I mean, what are your guys' fundraising goals? I mean, what number are you guys trying to hit?
Yeah, we're trying to get 2,000 people through the gates. So we're trying to obviously have it the largest attended soccer game in the history of Okemos High School. We're trying to get 2,000 people through the gate, and we're also trying to raise $25,000. I mean, that's the goal. We're trying to raise $25,000 tomorrow night for this big event. So those are our goals. I mean, they're lofty goals, but we believe we can do it with the help of the media, with the help of the fans and everyone out there. I mean, come on out. I mean, you know, there's a lot of places you can be on Saturday night, but you want this Saturday, you want to be here at Okemos High School. 5:30 JV, 7:30 varsity. Like you said, it is a big tribute in between games. I mean, it is going to be a really exciting night. We're really looking to make a difference. You know, and I think a lot of times sports, we talk about sports, and we all love to play sports. I played sports. I played in college. It's great. But there's nothing like the vehicle that sports can get to really help other things, and when I say other things like this cause, Compete for a Cause tomorrow night.
Without a doubt, I really look forward to meeting you out there, Ira, and seeing the you know, the amount of people that really come out to attend this event, raising money to again fight cancer. Now again, it's a $5 entry fee. Am I right?
$5 entry fee, and we're asking people, even if you have the athletic pass, you know, we're asking you to consider paying the $5.
Without a doubt, I'll come with my wallet open, my man. Without a doubt. Again, Ira Childress, Okemos High School Athletic Director. Ira, I look forward to seeing you out there tomorrow, my man. I know it's going to be a fantastic event.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate the coverage. Take care.
You know it. All right. Gosh, is that great or what? Gotta love that. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, folks, we will put a bow on this edition of WKAR's Current Sports, and this week here on Current Sports with Reflection Friday. We'll have our NFL picks for you, as well as preview that Lions and Broncos game. All of that and so much more. Do not touch that dial. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up chatting with Ira Childress, who is the Okemos High School Athletic Director, as he talked about the Compete for a Cause high school soccer game that will be taking place between Mason and Okemos tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m. That's when the JV game starts, and then around 7:30, the varsity game will kick off. But a game that really speaks to the hearts of many, because It's not just about, you know, the game taking place or the games taking place tomorrow. It's about raising money for an unbelievable cause, raising money to fight childhood cancer. So, again, I'll be out there, covering it. You'll get to see footage this weekend from that. We'll post it on our website at WKAR.org. You'll get to see the ceremony that will take place. But I'd rather you not see it. I'd rather you not see it. I'd rather you be out there and experience it as well. So, again, that will take place at Okemos High School tomorrow evening, starting at 5:30 p.m. Should be a fantastic, fantastic event. All right, folks. Well, just 15 minutes left in the show. If you're itching to call in and give your thoughts on anything, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, tomorrow at noon, the Spartans will play host to Central Michigan. The Spartans trying to improve their record to 4-0 against a team that is certainly a good one. I mean, the Chippewas right now, they're 1-2. There's a lot of things to look forward to in this game. I think Aaron Burbidge, who was coming off a really good week and a great season overall. I mean, looking at Aaron Burbidge, wide receiver for Michigan State, he has 20 receptions. And the rest of the team has only 30. Connor Cook, really, get that man the ball, all right? Get Aaron Burbidge the ball. He is really stepping into the role as Connor Cook's favorite receiver, sort of like, Tony Lippett was last year. Also, again, look at that, that secondary for Michigan State. As I stated before, we brought on Ira. I really think that's going to be a key component to stare at. If there's any chink in the armor for Michigan State, it is that secondary, in my opinion. So they have to play well. And, again, CMU, it's a team that you cannot overlook. And how Michigan State handles that number two next to his name is going to be very interesting as the year moves on. So if you want to call in and give us a score, hey, we encourage it. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we move further here in the show and put a bow on this thing, I want to shout out our fantastic students who have been working with us so far throughout the semester here on the show. As you guys know, each and every fall and spring semester, when school gets in for Michigan State, we have a lot of students who work here on Current Sports Radio out of the Journalism 418 class. And right now, I want to introduce one of them for you. His name is Darren Weiss, and he wants to go into sports broadcasting and sports journalism. And he is one of the students whose voice you will be hearing throughout the semester. Darren, welcome to the show, man. How you been enjoying yourself? This is your first time you sat in on the show. How you like it?
It's first time, and I love it, Al. You do a great show here, and your voice really catches on, and I just love listening to you, man.
I appreciate the love, Darren. And I want to first off ask you, Darren, I mean, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow? Spartans and Chippewas, who do you think wins that matchup, and by how much?
Well, I think there's no question the Spartans win, at home. They're ranked number two. I think they have a little something to prove. They're favorites. They're 26.5-point favorites, and they did not, they looked a little rusty against Air Force. I know you don't see the triple option every day, but I think it's time for them to put up some points and really show the country that, the defense has kind of been the story the last couple years with D'Antonio's squad. But, Cook's a senior. He's top three quarterback for next year in the NFL draft. Let's see him put up some points.
I like that. All right, give me a score.
I'm going to say 49-10.
49-10. Okay, you're going for a big blowout tomorrow. Okay.
I think it's time.
All right, interesting stuff. And I always do this. Any student, for the first time that I have one on the show, I have them introduce themselves to the people. So what year are you? How did you get into broadcasting? Why do you want to do this?
I'm a senior here at MSU, and, I just sort of like voicing my opinion. And
who doesn't, right?
Right, exactly. And I like asking a lot of questions, and I think this is a good profession for that. You don't get in trouble as much for asking as many questions here. And I also work for the Big Ten Network here at school, announcing
with Rick Church, right?
Exactly. Right. Announcing various, baseball games, soccer games, hopefully basketball when the Spartans come to play. So, should be an exciting and interesting senior year.
All right. Well, we are looking forward to having you here throughout the semester. Darren, also will be remiss if I did not shout out our other student who was working with us on the show today, Laurel Young, who is behind the glass right now. She helped out with our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Thanks so much, Laurel. So, yeah, a lot of names, a lot of different voices you'll be hearing throughout the upcoming weeks and months here on the show. Well, 10 minutes left. And you know what we love to do here on the show each and every Friday to close things out. It's called Reflection Friday, where we take a look at the week that was here on the show and beyond and bring you our favorite moments. Here we go. That's right. It is time to reflect a bit on this Friday. It was a fantastic week with a lot going on. One of my favorite moments throughout this week, Isaac and Darren, has to be when we gave our tribute to, of course, Jason Richardson, a man who went on to play 14 years in the NBA. He played two seasons here at Michigan State as a freshman, winning a national title back in 2000, of course, with Mateen Cleaves and the fellas. But Jay Rich, I went back to say yesterday, I mean, that it's not often that as a professional athlete, you get a chance to play double-digit seasons in the league. And Jay Rich is a guy who was blessed to have that opportunity. And you also got to know when it's time to hang it up. And I think, you know, with the latest news, when an MRI revealed bone spurs in his knee, Jay Rich knew that it was time to say goodbye to the game. And I hope that he has budgeted very well. Okay, because anytime I also hear about retirement of any athlete of any kind, I always think about the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, Broke. So I'm pretty sure he has done, I have heard no news about Jay Rich filing for bankruptcy, but hopefully he has some money in the bank. He's got a lovely family, a wife, a daughter, two sons. I wish Jay Rich well on his post-basketball career. So that was one of my favorite moments. Isaac?
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Hard to debate anything about Jason Richardson's marvelous NBA career. But what I'm going to reflect on is, first off, Cassius Winston.
Yeah.
I think this is such a big get for Michigan State. It's hard to overemphasize it because earlier in the recruiting trail, there were rumors that Cassius Winston and Miles Bridges were a package deal. If MSU gets Miles Bridges, then they get the number one class in the nation for 2016 and might have a chance at Josh Jackson, the number two recruit by some sources. So, I mean, Izzo's been winning for 20 years with number 20 ranked classes approximately.
Right.
If he gets a number one class, it's kind of scary to think what they could do.
Going to be huge if they can land Miles Bridges. And, of course, Winston and Bridges have a pretty close relationship, so there's a pretty good chance that they may be able to snag him. All right, Darren. What are some of your favorite moments of the week, man, or our favorite moment of the week?
I think my favorite moment of the week are, you know, the Seahawks are in an unfamiliar position starting 0-2. And
yeah,
recently Cam Chancellor held out all offseason hoping for a new contract. The Seahawks did not call his bargain, did not give him a new contract. And after going 0-2, Cam Chancellor decided to come back, talk to Marshawn Lynch, and I think it's a big get for Seattle. You know, he's sort of the voice and heart of that defense, and, you know, they got Chicago at home this week. I think they get back on track, and Cam Chancellor, and before you know it, Seahawks are going to be 11-5.
Yeah, you know, Cam and Marshawn Lynch, I mean, they're like peanut butter and jelly. I didn't know they were that close, but, you know, he talked about how he talked to Marshawn, and he was like, yo, man, we need you. And, you know, we can't, you know, make a run at this thing without you. And he's a big component to that team. So I'm excited to see Cam back, and I think he will make a big, big difference. And, again, don't be fooled, folks. The Seattle Seahawks are still the Seattle Seahawks. Even though they're 0-2 right now, they played two good teams, in my opinion. I think you start to see them steamroll as the year goes on. So don't be fooled by that. Also, one of my favorite interviews I think I've ever done had to be this week with Larry Spider-Man McBride. We always love to go off the cuff and bring you guys guests that aren't your typical, you know, beat writer or breaking down the X's and O's of Michigan State football or hoops or whatever it may be. And we brought on a drag racer, a motorcyclist who is a drag racer by the name of Larry McBride, who was, injured due to an explosion with his bike during a race about 12 or so days ago now. And, he caught on fire. The ambulance had to, you know, get the fire extinguisher, and he had third-degree burns. They flew him via helicopter to the nearest hospital. They treated him for the burns. His bike was totally disintegrated, the engine blown, and the race community loves him so much. And he's such a great personality. I mean, they call him Spider-Man because he dresses up in the Spider-Man sort of like superhero suit, and he climbs on the bike like Spidey as well. He's just an unbelievable figure, dude. But the race community loves him so much that they raised more than $20,000 to not only help with his recovery, but also help rebuild his bike. And Larry was so passionate about and so thankful for the fans who helped raise that money that when he does get back on the track, which is crazy, right? I mean, goodness. I mean, that shows you the type of trooper that he is. He wants to race again, even with that traumatic experience. But his new bike will have all of the names of those individuals that decided to help him out and donate funds. Unbelievable story. So that was also one of my favorite moments of the week. All right, fellas, well, let's finally get to this. We haven't done this yet, Isaac. I mean, what are we, like in week three of the NFL year, and we're finally getting to our NFL picks?
Yeah, we've been slacking out.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, goodness. All right, so let's go through this right now. You know, each and every week we'll do this from here on out, where we look at the NFL slate and pick our winners. And whoever has the best record at the end of the year may have something coming to them. I won't tell them what that is right now because I don't know. But we'll think of it, all right? Now, last night, of course, we missed one game. I chose the Giants to win that game anyway on my ESPN pick'em, and they did. Kirk Cousins had a bad outing. But let's go Atlanta Falcons and Dallas Cowboys. Darren, who you got real quick?
You know, no Romo, no Witten, no Dez. Falcons 2-0. They're playing well. I like Falcons.
I'm taking the Cowboys too. The Falcons too.
Oh, I was about to say. Okay.
No, not the Cowboys. That wouldn't make any sense. You.
I'm going with the Falcons, even though I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I got to be realistic here. All right, I'm going with the Falcons. I'm going with the Ravens over the Bengals. Darren.
I like the Bengals. You know, Bengals 2-0. Dalton looks good. AJ Green hasn't been forced yet. He's going to get going this week.
Yeah, and the Ravens are 0-2. Isaac.
I'm with Darren, too. I think that Baltimore defense isn't what it used to be, and the running game of Cincinnati could dominate.
I think the Ravens finally get their first win of the year at home. I'm going with the Ravens there. Cleveland Browns at home against the Oakland Raiders. I am going with the Browns. Darren.
No man's deal. It doesn't matter. I like Oakland.
I'm going to Oakland as well. Derek Carr, baby.
All right. Colts, Titans. I'm going with the Colts.
Luck gets it going this week.
Yeah, I think Colts finally too as well.
Steelers, Rams, Le'Veon Bell comes back. My fantasy team thanks you. I'm going with the Steelers over the Rams.
Yeah, Darren. I agree. Le'Veon's going to be fresh and ready to go.
It's been a long 2 weeks for my fantasy team as well. Le'Veon's going to get them the win.
Okay, Chargers and Vikings. I'm going with the Chargers.
Vikes.
Peterson looks unreal. He's back. Vikes.
Okay, both of you guys going. This is interesting. I think both of you guys have been on the same page so far.
Yeah, we really have.
All right, I'm going with the Patriots over the Jaguars and the Panthers over the Saints.
I agree on both of those. Brady's the best, man.
Patriots over the Jaguars, and the Saints are unbeatable, really, right now. They are the best team in the NFL. It's not even close. No, I'm kidding.
I can hear the sarcasm.
I have to pick the Saints. I'll pick the Saints in every single game.
Okay, I'm going Jets over the Eagles, Texans over the Buccaneers.
I like Jets, and I don't think the Texans are going to pull it out. QB problems.
Okay.
Jets and Bucks.
Okay, and last, I'm just going to fly through these now with a minute left. 49ers, Dolphins, Seahawks, I think the Lions beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos and Packers.
Manning back in a dome. He torched us about 10 years ago for 7 touchdowns. I like Denver.
49ers, Bills, and then I agree with the other two.
Okay. All right. Well, that will do it. I won't see you guys live again until I get back from Atlanta on October 5th. I will be at the National Association of Broadcasters Radio Show Conference, but we will have an encore Best of Current Sports special all of next week. You don't want to miss any of that, especially if you haven't had the chance to tune in throughout the past few weeks. But, hey, I wish you well. So much thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR. AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.